In our area, there's a new shopping mall started open up, I think, about a month ago. And I noticed there's a lot of shops, and the one thing that I noticed there's huge building, and it's a 24-hour physical fitness. And also, in about 3 miles, go to Alabama. When you get out Alabama or Fifth Street or Green Spot, there's another 24-hour fitness building. And here you go here in downtown Redlands, right there in downtown in Orange Street, there's another physical fitness place in there. So one thing that it reminds me that probably there's a lot of people that are going there because it's a 24 hours and they are going there for physical exercise, right? So there is that habit that they have to do a physical fitness for their life, for their being. Amen? So that's everywhere, probably not only in that west side, but that's the three places that I notice it. Have you noticed that, Brother Wayne? See? So how many of you noticed that? There's physical fitness. So there's a need, I think. There's a need in our physical being, in our physical exercise. Right, Brother Vic? That we need to exercise. There are things in there that we need to put it in a habit. Right? Amen? So there's a physical need. There's an exercise that we need in our physical being. And also, there's a fitness in our finances, right? There is some things, there's a habit that we need to form in our life so that we will be financially fit, right? Amen? You might think, Pastor Ed, you're talking about money. Yes, I'm talking about money. But it's something that really I feel this in my heart. I attended, I think Sister Rosa and I attended a conference, and this pastor shared about this kind of financial fitness that really, because a lot of us, there's a need of financial fitness in our life. How many can say amen? Amen? All right. So that's why 3 weeks ago, we started this series of lesson that we have. It's about how to handle your money. Okay? So, this morning or last week, we talked about, does anybody of you remember what we learned last week? Sowing and reaping. See, if you missed that one, if you missed that message, that's very important. Because what comes around, or what goes around, comes around. Right? See, if you missed that message, ask Brother Irvin. Did you load that one in our website? Not yet? Okay, so don't ask them then. But anyway, this morning, I just want to share with you about the habit of a financial health. Habits of a financial health. Because a lot of us, I believe, this is what really God wants us to do, is to help you to be financially fit, to get out from that financial trouble that maybe some of you will say, you know what, how can I get away from this situation that I have? If you have that question in your mind, I'm sure you're in the right place this morning. Because my desire, Sister Rose's desire, is for you to get financially fit in your life. Can you remember that the the parable of Jesus Christ. There are, how many of you remember how many parables that Jesus Christ have? Just Jesus Christ. There's about 48 parables that Jesus Christ have. Almost half of that, it's all about money. How do you handle the money? How to spend money? Do you know why? Why did Jesus Christ have about half of that? 18 is about handling money. Do you know why? Because we spend time here in this world spending money. We spend time in our workplace to earn money. In fact, you even spend more time at work than in your house spending money or earning money. So if you're here this morning, you're in the right place, because we're gonna talk about what are the habits of financial health. It's because we need to whatever habit that we have that we put ourselves in a hole, we need to stop that, and we need to be physically fit. Amen. So this morning, I want us to develop a healthy finances. And to be financially fit, there are certain habits that we have been doing that ever since, but we don't know how to stop it. So this morning I'm gonna share with you how to be financially free. Amen. How to be financially free. And there are eight habits for getting a financially free lifestyle. So this week we're gonna look at the eight habits for getting out of the situation that you have. Habits that we need to be financially free. So in other words, the first habit is the most important one. The first habit is the most important one. The second habit is the second most important. And the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh, and the eighth. So it should be in a numerical order. The first one is the most important one. The second is the most second important, and so on. Are you with me? Amen? So number one, the Bible teaches us that the first thing that I have to do if I want to get myself financially fit is that I have to remember that God is my source. It's the first thing that if I want to be financially free in my life, to get out from the situation that I have, to get out the problem that I have financially, first thing that I have to put in my mind and put it in my action, and then it becomes a habit, is that I have to remember, I have to remind myself that God is my source. Amen? Are you with me? That God is my source. And remember that God is my source of all my supplies. That even the air that I breathe, as we sing that song this morning, that my source is not my job. My source is not the California retirement system. My source is not the economy, the Wall Street. My source is not the social security that I have. My source, my security is in who? On God. That's the first thing that you need to know. You need to put it in your mind. You need to program that in your mind. You need to put that in the refrigerator. That God is the source of my life, the source of everything. Amen? Tell the person next to you, God is the source of everything that we have. Amen? Because if you put your security on something else, you're going to be insecure for the rest of your life. Amen? If you put your security in your salary, you can lose your salary. You can lose your job. If you put your security on your savings, Forget it. Some of you probably experienced the 2008 crash. So if you put your social security on your spouse, and guess what? Huh? You lose your spouse. You must put your security on something that cannot be taken from you. And what is that? You need your relationship with God. Because nobody can take that away from you. Amen? So you need to put that, your security, on something that cannot be taken from you. And that's your relationship. Your relationship to God. God is the source of my supplies. Not salary, not even my savings, because job dries up. Amen. The job that you have might dries up. So put your security on something that cannot be taken. Amen. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, look at that. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Read that with me. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Did you believe that it's in the Bible? Huh? It's there. It's in the Bible. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Do you have that in your Bible? Deuteronomy? I want you to open your Bible. If you have your Bible with you, I want you to underscore the word produce. It is God that give you the ability to produce wealth. See, it is not you. You think it's you, huh? Probably before you read that this morning, you think that you are the one. you go to work, right? But it is God that gives you the ability to produce wealth. It is God that gives you the strength to wake up this morning. It is God that gives you the air that we breathe, so that you have life to go to your work this morning. Not you, but your other people, because you're here this morning. Amen? So it's remember the Lord your God that gives you the ability to produce wealth. So I want you to notice that the Bible says that obviously God's own it all. He just loaned it to you this morning, and probably as long as you are a good steward of that, He's going to own that to you until what? 80, 90, maybe some of you will live up to 100, but God loaned it to you, but when you die, He will give that to another person. Today, God just loaned us that money, and it's up to us how to manage that. See, the first three part of the message of the lesson is about being a good steward. Because everything that we have, the money, it's indeed you work for that. But He loaned it to you. Because God's own everything. Amen? God gives you the ability to produce wealth. And the second habit, if I want God's blessing in my finances, I must make money honestly. Remember, first, God is my source. And then the second one, I make money honestly. Now, number two. So the most important part is that God is the source. The second most important part is I must make money honestly. Why? Because God does not bless cheaters. God doesn't bless crooks. God does not bless people that are deceptive. Okay? And in Proverbs 15:27, it says, dishonest money brings grief to the whole family. Think about that. If you are earning money in a deceptive way, in a dishonest money, it brings grief not to you, not only to you, but only to the whole family. Can you imagine that? If you work dishonestly, it will bring grief to the whole family. In other words, if I go out and make money, but if I make it dishonestly, it actually brings grief. It brings curse. It brings problem to my family. Emotionally, problems, emotional problems, all kinds of problems. And you might say, you know what, Pastor Ed, I doesn't rob banks. But you know, when the Bible says dishonestly, but can I tell you something? That when you go to work, and then if you go to work 8 hours a day, and then you only work during break time, instead of having a 30 minutes break time, you have an hour and a half break time. And the employer gives you an 8 hours of pay for an 8 hours of work, but you take an hour and a half break or lunch time, and then another an hour for your break, and that, you know what? That's a dishonest living. Right? You won't think about that dishonestly. But the employer gives you, tells you, you know what, Ed, this is your pay for 8 hours of work. And then I turn around and I provide 6 hours of work. That's a dishonest living. Amen. I know all of you here working, probably you even put more works than break time. But for those who are that kind of workers, the work ethics is that that's one way of having a dishonest money of salary. Amen. So that's one thing. And sometimes padding your expenses, you know, in your travel or sometimes, you know, you put more money there, you think you get all the expenses paid, but sometimes it's a mistake. But sometimes it's a deliberate putting your money in there to your expenses. Right? Amen? Or also, another one is that when you're filing your income tax. Filing your income tax. You put more deductions in there. Deductions that's not even, you know, it's not even allowed. You put medical expense in there that the doctor didn't prescribe it to you, but you put it there so because you want a refund. So that's a dishonest living, right? And it says there, it says that dishonest money brings grief to the whole family. See, we don't see the side effect of that kind of living, earning money in a dishonest way, but it does affect the family. It does affect your relationship with one another. Amen? Now let's look at another way. Proverbs 16:11. It says, the Lord demands fairness in every business deal. He sets the standard. So what does it mean? When you're making a deal with dealing with you, I remember when I sold my whatever car is that, you know, I fix it, I have it, what's that? Sheena? No, the other one. My Camry. And there's a lady that came here, and he doesn't have a car. She doesn't have a car. So I said, you know what? You can have this car for, I think, how much that? $1,500. I said, I have it changed the windshield, the crack, and I have it oil change. And then he said that, you know what? I'll just give you 15 pieces of checks that are predated, and you just deposit it as the date goes in there. And do you know what? That's the last time I saw the car. And the check bounced. See? There's a dishonesty when you're dealing. It says, God says, you know what? The Lord's demands fairness in every business deal. He sets the standard. See? That's why we have, God says, you know what? If you want your finances, you're free from any problems, God is right there. Lord's demand fairness in every business deal, and he sets the standard. Amen. And in Proverbs 28, verse 8, there's another. Oh, the Lord's demand. If you make money by charging high interest rate, you will lose it all to someone who cares for the poor. Can you believe it's all there? All the promises. You know what? Regarding money, handling money, it's all in Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes. It says here, if you make money by charging high interest rate, you will lose it all or to someone who cares for the poor. That means, what's that? Brother Ray, usury, right? You charge high interest. So if you charge high interest to people that could hardly even pay, then you know what? They will take that out from you. And that's probably what happened to the Wall Street, because there's so many high interest in there. It just broke down and now they turn around and give it to the poor. Okay? So, number two, I must make money honestly. That's usury. That's excessive interest rate on loan. Those are for loans. We call it loan shark, right? Charging high interest rate. And it's a usury. In Proverbs 13:11, it says, if you make money by wealth from get rich quickly schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. Look at that. The more hard work that you have, it's those people that are looking for a get rich quick money. It does quickly disappear. But for those hard work money, it grows over time. Amen. So number one is what? I remember that God is what? Is my source. Number two, that I have to make money in an honest way. Number three, honor God first. Honor God first. I honor God first with my money. I don't have to spend a lot of time with this because I shared this with you before. But because of, you know, how the principle, that's the principle of tithing. Bottom line is, whatever I want God to bless, I put Him first. Because there is a promise about tithing. Amen? In Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord by giving Him first part of all your income. Remember, notice that he didn't say about honor the Lord with your leftover. and he will fill your barn. God says, honor the Lord with your first part of your income. And he will what? He will, and your barns will be filled. Your barn will be filled. Now, I just want to share this with you because 30 years ago, Sister Rose and I make a decision that whatever we receive, the first part of our money is we pay God first. But we have an argument. It says, you know what? Which one are we gonna get? Is it on the gross or on the net? So we argue. I said, for you, whatever you wanna do, do it. But I'll give God first on the net. So whatever it is, honor God first, whatever we do, not on your leftovers. Amen. How many of you are doing the tithing? Nobody? Dang. Okay, we'll talk about that later. See, you might ask yourself, so why does God ask you and me to honor him first? Why does God ask you that? Anybody? Do you come in here this morning to worship him? Right? So you said, you know what? I worship God. But how do you worship God? Well, the Bible says that when I bring my tithes, there, can you put it there, Deuteronomy 14:23, when I bring my tithes to the Lord, is to teach me how to put God first. See? The reason why God have that principle of tithing, so that you and I will worship him, will put him first before anything else. Because if we cannot put him first, if we don't tithe, how can we show to God that he is first in our life? Huh? Put God first. Because God is poor, right? No, because he wants to show us how to teach us how to put God first in our life. Amen? To teach you always to put God first in your life. And he wants me to trust him. He wants me to trust him. In Malachi, this is the famous tithing verse on tithing. Do we have the herb? Bring to the storehouse. He didn't say bring to Stater Brothers or Bones or J.C. Penney or Macy's. Macy's, man, that's my favorite store. or my dad, the other one, the Nordstrom. No. Rose. See? Oh, Walmart, amen. You guys are familiar with that. That's what you guys. Can I have a testimony for that? Anybody? Amen. He says, God says, bring to me. It's an act of worship. When I do that, then the day that you're showing that God is first in your life. Another verse, 1 Corinthians. Honoring God first. On every Lord's Day, which is what? Which is Sunday, you should put aside something from what you have earned during the week and use it for this offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. Amen? So, the reason why God asks you to tithe, because he wants you to trust him. And he wants to teach us how to give him first. Amen? Number four? Number four is save money wisely. If you want God's blessing in your finances, if you want to get out of debt, I must learn to save money wisely. And notice that is in number four. First, I remember God is my source. And then the second one, I make money honestly. Third, I honor God first. And then the fourth one, I save some of that. And you might say, Pastor Ed, telling us to save money before I pay my bills? Are you serious? And that's exactly what God is telling us to do. Because that's what the Bible says. Telling us to do. Amen? Now, nobody agree with that. That's, see, if you wait until your bills is paid off and you start savings, then you'll never have a savings. You will not save anything. And most people get to retirement flat broke because they spend all their money and never save anything. And the Bible states us that pay God first and pay your second, and then you spend the rest of your grocery bills. Amen? And Rose and I practiced that for almost 30 years. That we decide, we make a commitment that we pay God first. And just for my personal witness with you, when I arrived here, I was 30 years old, half of my life in the Philippines. And when we got married, I used to be a Catholic in the Philippines. And Catholic, every time I go to church, I pull out my dollar and I give that. And that's what first thing that we argue with Sister Rose, because she's tighter and I'm a dollar. Dollar, dollar, dollar. Remember the story about dollar? Just the dollar and the $20 bills meet. He said, how are you doing, dollar? Oh, I've been from one church to another church. And the $20, how about you? Where have you been? Oh, I've been to Russia and I've been to any overseas. That means the $20 has been going all around the world, whereas the dollar is from one church to another church. But what I'm saying is that when we tithe, we decided to put a tithing. The 10%, that means if I have $10, I give one, right? If I earn $100, I give 10, right? But you know what? When we decided to put that away, I start, you know, that the I was been here 30 years, and you know what? I decided to myself, you know what? I'm going to work to one employer that at the end of 30 years or 25 years, at the end of 60 years old, I'm going to get a better retirement. And do you know what? I advise you that if you really want to, I know all of you, some of you here, would not live here for the rest of your life. I know some of you are going to go back to the Philippines. My suggestion is that find a work that are stable, that it's one. Don't keep on moving and moving, because if you keep moving and moving, you could hardly establish your retirement. But I suggest that you find a work that are stable, that at the end of 30 years or 35, at the age of 65, you have your own money. And that's what we have. I work for 25 years. I took an early retirement. And with God's grace, when I retired at the age of 55, with 25 years of service and early retirement, my retirement with my tithing, and then I gave my now I at the age of 25, I was able to get a retirement, but the vacation time and the sick time that I accumulated were able to pay off our mortgage. And that with tithes, with the 10%. With 10% goes to the Lord. And then at the end of my 25 years of service, I was able to pay off our mortgage. Debt free. At 55 years old. So I encourage you, start savings and then working, and because when you tithe, God doesn't only bless your tithings. He also blessed. There is some more in around your life, and sometimes your health gives that, and then your relationship it create a good atmosphere. Your wife will be happy. Your husband will be happy, because happy wife is happy life. So I encourage you to start saving some money. When you get a promotion, don't change your life. Stay the same. Okay? Don't change your lifestyle, because sometimes when you get promotion, hey, I'm gonna buy this BMW or something else. See? That's why when you get a promotion, don't change your lifestyle. Stay the same. Or Jaguar. Be content. Okay? So, save money wisely. Amen? Are you still with me? Okay. Hallelujah. Did you know that God said that if you are saving some money, that's the test of your IQ? I know there's a lot of high IQ people here. It shows how smart you are. By looking at your savings, you can tell how wise or smart a person is. Do you know that? It says here, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. I know there's a lot of wise men and wise women here. Amen? Are you with me? Proverbs 21:20, it says there, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Did you know that the average Japanese save 25% of their income? Average European saves 15. Last Filipinos? I didn't put it there. I didn't put it there. No percent. But for Americans, it says for last year, the average American spent 1% more from what they made. One. Is there any Americans here this morning? American citizen? Naturalized. Wow. Yay. That means we're not saving at all. You might say, you know what? But Pastor Ed, the Filipinos are not there. They say that's included there in the American. Because we are American citizen. See? Yeah. Amen. See, when you get a raise, don't go out and spend it all. Amen. And in Ecclesiastes chapter, we have that herb. Develop your business first, building your... Oh my gosh. Proverbs 24:24-27. Develop your business first, building your house. What does it mean? That means if you earn money, don't go out and have remodel your kitchen. The Bible says develop your business first. You put that money into a savings that will save you some money. Don't when you buy a house, Don't start to remodel the bathroom or don't buy the drapes first. Don't buy remodel the kitchen. It says develop your business first, building before your house, building your house. See? Because it says invest, because nobody can predict. You don't know what's going to happen. So you start saving money before you do some developing in your house, before you do remodeling. Amen? Anybody? Don't open an account. Don't use your, you know, normally they give you that what? Open, was that equity? Open credit or? Huh? See, save your money. Save your money before you start remodeling, before you start changing the drapes in the, oh, the drapes is not so good. Or, I need to paint this building, this house. The Bible says that develop your business. Find something that you can invest that money or save that money that will earn interest. Okay.
So they say, if you don't need it now, you don't need it later.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yeah. Okay. It says, invest what you have in several different businesses because you don't know what disaster might happen. See? The reason why God says, you know what? Develop your business. Take care of that money, that income that you have, that savings that you have. Put it in a business, in a CD or anything that will save some money, some interest, and then before doing some remodeling in your house. Okay? So that's God's way. That's God's way. Okay? Are you with me? Oh man. Sus. And you don't put your money in one place, in one basket. Put it, scattered it, because you never know what's going to happen to that. Okay. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. Money that comes easily disappeared quickly, but money that is gathered little by little will grow. And then after that, put Lotto. So the first habit is that what? Put God first. God is my source. Number two, I make money honestly. Number three, do what? Honor God first. Number four, number five, keep good records. If you don't know how to keep records, we have Sister Camille or Brother Ray will tell you how to keep records. This is the principle of accounting. You need to start in writing down of what you spend until you absolutely know where is it going. Okay? And if you don't keep track of it, of your money, the money kind of just walk away and don't even notice it when it's all gone. It is a wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spend whatever he gets. In Proverbs 27, verse 23-24, riches can disappear fast, so watch your business interests closely. know the state of your flocks and your herds. You know why by saying that? Because they don't have Bank of America or Wells Fargo or Chase. If you want to know how rich is this person, you just go to his backyard and you will see how many cows and herds and goats that he has. So instead of know the state of their flocks, you will say that maybe know the state of your stocks in our generation. Okay? Proverbs 21 verse 5, it says, do we have that herb? No? It says, plan carefully and you will have plenty. If you act too quickly, you will never have enough. That means, plan carefully and you will have plenty. But you, if you act impulsively, you know, impulse buying, you will never have enough. You know what impulse buying? You know, if I go to the grocery store and I don't have the list of the things that I'm going to buy, I ended up probably 10 or more items that I will get that's not in the in the grocery list. So it's better to have a list of the things that you're going to buy so that you stick on that one. Keep good records. Or else you might say, where did my money go? Have you heard that, people? Man, it's only 15th day and there is no more money. Images, where did my money go? Right? Because ignorance of your finances plus the easy credit, you know, it equals disaster. So you need to have a budget. And I'm glad that Sister Rose is pretty good on budgeting. Sister Rose. But well, don't ask her. She'll give you 50% on tithing. Proverbs 27:23. It says, oh, these are the four things that you need to know. What I own, what I owe, what I earn, and where is it going? If you want to keep a record. Your money can be gone in a flash as if it had grown wings and flown away like an eagle. Man, that's a very vivid description. That's a vivid description of if you don't have a budget, if you don't have a budget plan, it's just like an eagle trying to pickpocket you, Brenda. Pickpocket your money and then he'll fly it away. And you'll never know. You don't have no more money. Riches can disappear fast. So what's your business interest? Okay. Proverbs 23 verse... do we have that 23 verse 5 herb? Your money can be gone in a flash. Okay. Wings like an eagle. They have that one right there. 23, 5. All right, number 6. Plan. I must plan my spending. And most of us, we do not plan of spending. You might spend it, whatever you want to spend it, however you want to spend it in the way, if we do it impulsively, and that's gonna be disaster. All right? I think we talk about the plan. It's a plan, it's about budgeting. In Proverbs 21:20, it says, stupid people. Do you know that's in the Bible, Regine? This is CEV, Contemporary English Version. It says, stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. Wow. Do you know that our society are geared up to that? Do you know that our grocery store are geared out to that? You spend and spend. You just buy. Come on. You just, when you see it, you like buying. It just seduces you. It just attracts you to buy more. Plan carefully and you will have plenty. If you act too quickly, you will have not enough. Number seven, sit up a debt repayment. A debt repayment. And if you have an outstanding debt, you need to pay right away. In Romans 13 verse 8, do we have that? Or Proverbs? Don't withhold repayment of your debts. That's chapter 3, verse 27. And then in Romans 13, verse 8, no? Romans, okay, then it says, let no debt remain outstanding. Do you know what an outstanding debt? See, we need to pay off our credit card every time you get it, right? And then sometimes what we do, when we get our bills, our credit card bills, we just pay a minimum. Just leave it there to sink in a little bit. But we put a minimum. And then we pay the minimum. And do you know what? Whatever is left, that's what they call outstanding debt. See? Whatever is left, it's an outstanding debt. And the Bible says, let no debt remain outstanding. Okay? And lastly, boy, you might say, I'm glad, Pastor Ed, you're done. I'm tired of listening to this. Come on, Pastor Ed, you're killing us softly. But you know what? My desire is you guys, it's free of death. Amen. That's why I share this message. I got one more though. There's five. This is fourth. This is the fourth one. Number five, it's even better. Because my desire is to all of us have a death free. We got five more months to finish up the year. But I want you to, within 5 months, within December, within January, you might stand up here and you know what, Pastor Ed, I'm glad I heard you, that message, and I am death free. I don't have money. I don't have death, outstanding debt. Amen. Amen. But that's really my desire. The reason why I bring this message. This is not my message. I got this from Rick Warren. But it's too good that it really liberated me and Sister Rose. And before we fight. Oh my gosh, we have an intensive fellowship almost every day. Because of money. Do you know that money is the number one issue? And why marriage are... Yes? Anybody can testify? Nobody? Money is the number one. For those young people that are married, before you get married, make sure your spouse understand. Or enough money. Okay? And get this principle. Okay, you already have a list of that last Friday. The one that we studied. But really my desire to all of us to be a death-free church. Because you bring your tithes, and I'm really inspired. I'm really encouraged that this church, we pay our mission about 10% of our income. The church is about 10%. We pay about 700 missionaries, 350 or 300 to each of those missionaries that we have. And because we invested money there, do you know what? The impact that God has blessed this church, we are not short. Usually summertime, the church encounters some drought financially. But praise the Lord for all of you that are tithing, that have trust in this fellowship. I'm glad for all of you. Okay? So lastly, commit it all to God. Remember first, number one principle that we have is God first. The source of our everything that we have. And then we come back and go back to the Lord. It's all thanks to Him. Commit your work to the Lord and then your plan will succeed. Amen. Whatever it is that God has, I know a lot of you, there's principle, God has blessed you financially and miraculously. Bill, come on in. And God wants to bless you. Amen. That's my only desire of my heart, that all of you will be financially free. Amen. So these are the habits, and it all starts from the thoughts, and then it becomes an act, and then it becomes a habit. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we all stand? Oh, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Can we ask the worship team? Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the lesson, Lord. Lesson that you have given to us. And Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, for those who are in a situation, Lord, that are financially in need, Father God. Lord, we pray that this will help them a little bit, Lord Jesus. But Father, we pray that they need a miracle in their life financially, Father God. And Lord, we know that you're a God of miracle. You're a God of impossible, Father God. And so we come to you, Lord, this morning. Those who are in need, Lord, financially, Father God. Lord, we pray that you will touch their heart, that this lesson that we have, Lord, is all based on the principle on your word, Lord God, in Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes, Lord, and in Deuteronomy and in Romans, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. Thank you for every person that you have brought, Lord, in this fellowship. And Father, we pray that as we bring our tithes and offering this morning, Lord God, that you will bless us, Lord, 100-fold, Lord, or 60 or 30, Lord God. And Father, we thank you. Thank you for being with us, Lord, this morning, touching the heart of every person. And as we bring our tithes to honor you, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.